It's weird being a person of color who's touring the country right now. You know, it's been a little frightening. Like, I got an offer recently to do a show in North Carolina, and I was kind of nervous, and that's kind of on me. Like, I have certain preconceived notions and fears about the South, you know, because I've read American history. And also, to be fair, I'm like an elitist from New York City, so I think New Jersey is the South, you know what I mean, so... But it's kind of a weird time in America because there's been a surge of hate crimes all over the country right before the election and right after the election. And a lot of the hate crimes are being committed by Trump supporters. And I know they're being committed by Trump supporters because after the hate crimes, they yell, "Trump!" Which is like a clue, you know. Like, you don't hear that from the progressive end. You never hear, "I now pronounce you husband and husband, Obama!" Like, you never hear the other side of that.
Comedian Harry Kondabolu. He's the co-host of the podcast Politically Reactive with fellow comedian W. Kamau Bell. He'll be appearing at the Creative Alliance at the end of this month, and he joins us this afternoon, or it's actually morning for him, on the phone from Seattle, Washington. Harry, welcome back to WIPR.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So, you know, I forget exactly when you recorded that bit, but you talk about the surge in hate crimes during the election season and then right after the election. Of course, here we are with a hate crime happening just 3 days ago in Charlottesville, Virginia. You know, what strikes me about some of the reactions that people have had in Charlottesville is some of the residents there say, you know, We're afraid that people are going to see this thing happening in Charlottesville and this isn't who we are, you know. But you travel around the country, and I wonder if we have to at some point admit that this is, in fact, who we are or who we are becoming as a country.
Yeah, this is who we are. I mean, I don't think this is, you know, I think that history has shown us that white supremacy has killed a great number of people, right? And the thing is, what we saw in Charlottesville is white supremacy killing people. However, mostly white supremacy kills people invisibly, right? It's institutional. It's in the structures that we have created to uphold white supremacy. So, you know, we see a visual example of it, and we have to be like, is this who we are now? And it's like, no, this is who we are always. You know, we allowed for this to happen. We allowed for the clock to be turned back because we fundamentally were built on this. I should remind people again that I am a stand-up comedian.
Yes, and that was a hysterical bit there, Harry. It was a hysterical bit. It was. Now, I mean, I don't mean to be Debbie Downer myself.
Well, it was Home Companion, by the way, which is which is an America that I think a lot of people are like, oh, this is the America that was, and I'm like, eh, well. Not anymore,
yeah,
if that's
yeah.
What you think.
I mean, I don't mean to be Debbie Downer about it myself. I mean, there are obviously many people of goodwill, and every day, you know, three or four of them tune into this program, and I'm delighted about it. But we do have to be, we have to be realistic about the severity of this contingent of the electorate. I mean, it's one thing to just sort of keep insisting that it's a fringe thing, that it's way off to the side, and that it's minuscule, because here we have a president of the United States who appears to be talking to it exclusively. I mean, when he talks about North Korea, he's really talking to this base of people who really believe that America needs to somehow reclaim its greatness. When you do audiences, obviously, I would guess that most of the folks who come to hear your act are sort of like mind with you. I mean, that's one of the reasons that you appeal to them. But do you find yourself in conversation or even on stage with people who are not of like mind, with people who are on the right, regardless of whether it's the extreme right, but maybe just, you know, on the right politically in general?
Yeah, I mean, both. I mean, there are people who disagree with me who still think I'm funny, which is a high compliment, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
And I also think that there are people on the left that do not agree with me. You know, there are people on, like, I keep hearing this talk, and Kamau and I talk about this on the podcast, actually, this upcoming Thursday. Just there are a lot of people who talk about identity politics, that we lost the election because of identity politics. Identity politics is the major reason Clinton lost. And identity politics is code to me. It's code for the voices of oppressed people. It's us reclaiming space, us fighting our fight That's identity politics. What they don't mean is white supremacy, which gave Trump the election. He was playing identity politics more than anybody. And so, you know, I'm not going to, I mean, there's going to be people on, certainly on the left who disagree with that idea. But to me, it's like, I see that clear as day. Identity politics doesn't mean white supremacy. When people say identity politics, it means you minorities and you people, you know, you people of color, you queer folks, you women, you trans folks, you have to stop fighting. You got to stop fighting right now because that's making it harder for us to reclaim this office. And that's not how progress works. That's not how justice works. And, you know, I believe in justice over compromise.
And how do you respond to folks on the right who mostly, are, as far as I can tell, are the ones making the argument that there is somehow an equivalency between the vitriol on the right and the vitriol on the left? I mean, we had conservatives talking about the anti-fascist movement who were just as violent as the white nationalists and supremacists in Charlottesville, Virginia, without particular documentation to support that argument. How do you respond to somebody who says, well, they're, you know, black people are racists too?
I mean, people of color, and particularly black people, you know, do not have power in this country. I think power is a big part of it. You can be prejudiced. And certainly there's been tons of examples of people of color being prejudiced. It's not like prejudice doesn't go away. However, the idea of racism and structural racism, I mean, I'll make it as clear as this. I mean, I think that 400, it's been like 400 to 500 people have been killed by white supremacists maybe in the last two decades. Think about the number of people of color that have been killed by the police in that period of time. It's far more than 400 to 500. And so you have a police force that kind of upholds white supremacy, upholds this order, right? I mean, if you have that on your side, it's not the same. It's not the same as anti-fascist. It's not the same as the left. It's a very different situation. And also, you know, when the Black Panthers were armed, when various groups on the left were armed, they were seen as enemies of the state. Meanwhile, you had like white supremacists who were armed, who practice open carry. And yet that's not seen as the, you know, a threat. So I feel like it's easy to say it's all the same, and it's not. It we see from how people get treated, it's not the same.
Your career has just really continued to evolve and really take off. We just have like literally 10 seconds left. There are those who have called comedians the new superheroes of this generation. Do you feel like one of those?
No, that's really sad, and I don't want people to say that. I think that if we're the superheroes, we're basically saying, yeah, this is going to be a tragic end to the superhero story. And, you know, my biggest, I think, strength at the, in an end-of-the-world situation is to serve as food. Like, I can't really imagine much more than that. Like I am meat, so yeah. I don't think that's heroic. Yeah.
Well, it's been great having you for lunch, Harry. I really appreciate it. great having you here, and we look forward to when you come to town, come back to town at the end of the month. Thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll see you on the 27th.
Harry Kondabolu, he's a comedian and co-host of the popular podcast Politically Reactive with fellow comedian W. Kamau Bell. He's going to be performing two shows at the Creative Alliance in East Baltimore on Sunday, August 27th, 7:30 and 9 o'clock. Come to our website, wypr.org/midday, for all the deets. That's it for us today. Coming up on the program tomorrow, a conversation with Kwame Kwe Arma as he prepares to step down from his position as the artistic director of Baltimore Center Stage. We'll talk about what's up next for him and how Center Stage has evolved under his leadership. Then, if you've seen this new documentary about the STEP teen at the all-girls high school in Baltimore, it's called STEP, and tomorrow we're going to talk to Paula Dofat. She's the college counselor at the Baltimore Leadership School for Young Women. She's going to talk about cultivating talent with our young women in the city. She's featured in the film. Thanks to Joe Squared for providing lunch today. Joe Squared serves coal-fired pizzas, risotto, and local craft beers. Locations and hours at joesquared.com. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Here and Now is on tap right after a break for the news. Have a great day.